shutter. Wood is on Triple M.
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on.
Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
What a week it's been in Melbourne. Autumn, the sun's been shining, it has been absolutely beautiful, and your week is hopefully only going to get better. Big Friday Huddle coming your way. Nate's top five, hot topics. Matty Nix, the coach of the Adelaide Crows, to join us. Dane Swan to join us as well to talk about the Pies, boxing, and all sorts of other things. Packed show as we lead up to the Crows taking on Geelong. Big game of footy. Cats having a win against the Saints. The Crows not quite getting it done against the Gold Coast Suns. I look around. Du Bois are in the house, and the captain of Du Bois, Luke Darcy, is here. Hello to you, Guru.
Very nice to be here, Howie. As always, on a Friday, good game this one. The Crows and the Cats, saw the Cats live last week. They are going to be hard to beat, as always. Adelaide at home, very good. Maybe a small personal hygiene issue that we need to raise here, Howie.
Correct.
At some point in time, there's some sort of common basic hygiene things that normally most people do, Chief.
But I would have thought it's the minimum courtesy required when you work in a studio.
Well, the Chief is here with what looks to be a brand new hat, Chiefy. A little red.
It's an old
rubber.
One, Howie.
Is it? What brand's that?
It brand's on the back.
What is it,
if you
Nathan?
Had done your research.
What type of hat is it?
Looks like a Black Crow hat. It's red,
Atticus.
And he's got a Black Crow on it.
And he's got a white thong on.
Where'd you park your skateboard?
Just out the front.
Why
do you
even
say
you got your cap on backwards and a plain black t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're a collector of hats, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. How many hats would you have?
I would have 40 or 50 of them at home.
Really?
Right. Some of them just sit at the bottom. This one I just found on the floor.
Do you find, Chief, when you get a good one that's worn in well, you have a favourite?
Like your couch.
100%. 100%.
Big ass on that
Everyone
couch.
Has a favourite spot on the couch. Tell me you don't.
It's just that nobody else sits on yours, so there's only one spot.
Yeah, it's great.
Damien Barrett is here as well, looking sharp with a beard, looking amazing. Hello to you, Damien.
Hello to you too, Harold. And I know you haven't got your skateboard here today because I saw the big Ranger in the car park.
Did you see the Barrelheads Brewing sign across the side
too.
Of it?
It's a huge car you've got.
It's taking off the brewery as well. Now, you brought up something about personal hygiene that I'm not across.
Well, Chief and I were just looking up at the screen, and Nate is often staring at himself because he does his show. And we went, he's wearing a brown shirt. I don't own a brown shirt.
No.
So
that beige brown.
Beige
shirt.
Brown, yeah.
Tan.
A tan.
Ecru.
So it's not a shirt that, it's not a white shirt. So you think he could have worn another one. And we looked up and we went, when did you record that show, Nate? He said, yesterday, wearing same shirt.
Shirt.
And he said, yeah, I've worn it 2 days in a row.
Mm.
And you're sweating up a bit
of
the
moment. I don't sweat. I perspire, Duke.
You just you perspire.
Yeah, and I did wear it yesterday, but I had to do some filming late this afternoon. It was still in the car hanging up. It had been pressed. So I thought I'd put it back on, and here we are. I didn't have time to put another T-shirt on. I got one in the car, but I didn't feel like it was a big issue.
It is.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Quite a small studio, Nathan.
We've called you out on this. Hygiene on the tennis court. You snort out of your nose and there's goobers everywhere on the tennis court.
That's like the same as a footy field. It's sporting, mate, where you're meant to get rid of
there's
fluids.
There's grass. You're not meant to do it on the hard court.
Damien, big game of footy last night. Are we talking about the positives of the Saints before we get into a couple of other things we need to discuss, or are we talking about the negatives for the Pies? That's up to you.
Well, probably, unfortunately, for the St Kilda Footy Club, talk about some negative to come out of the positive win. The negative being the diagnosis officially today of the Mason Wood situation. We knew he was concussed. We knew there was a collarbone / shoulder issue, and that aspect of it is going to keep him out for a minimum of 6 weeks. But the news that's just dropped in the last few moments, that we did notice Liam Henry limp off the ground, and even the celebrations in the rooms post-match, he was hobbling. Well, a high-grade hamstring is the diagnosis for him. First game for the Saints, I thought had a really good impact, and now he's going to miss time. They're saying 6 weeks, but the diagnosis being high-grade, Chief, it may well be longer, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a shame for the Saints because they found a couple of little patches of footy last night to get the job done. They're by no means a finished product, and I think it was an error-riddled match at best when you have a look at the overall product. But I think they're going somewhere, St Kilda. How quick they get there, I'm not quite sure. But he certainly gave them. One thing you can notice, I think it sticks out, is that Ross Lyon wants leg speed.
Pace.
And they've got plenty of it in there.
Jones was good when he came on as well.
The Pies, you two were both at the footy last night. I noticed you call a lot of extra games, you two. Ewan doesn't ring me, but that's a whole other issue for another day. I've been like shunted.
That's because you earn too much.
No, I've been shunted
you
to the
US
back.
Dollars, well, so Ewan's actually, like, well, I'm not going to get him in because I have to pay him too much.
You no longer want to travel to cool games, yeah, which...
Well, travel to the MCG, I'd be happy to go to the MCG.
He also can't rely on you because you're taking off to the IPL again, aren't you?
Anyway, that's a side issue.
You're a non-traveller, which hurts us.
Because
when you don't travel, we have to do this and we get half rate, some of us.
Correct.
Not me.
No, we feel it. We understand that.
What do you think of the Pies last night? Is it time to get concerned or just a bump in the road for you two that were there taking Triple M through it?
Just a reminder of just how hard and even and competitive this sport is. Collingwood were remarkable last year. They were going to get 25 points down and you just say, wait to watch them come home. And yeah, the rest of the competition catches up quick for mine. You go to school on the reigning premiers. You try and pick them apart. We are brilliant in Australia. We like people to have a little bit of success and then we try everything we can to knock them down. And I think they'll be fine in the long term. I think they're really well coached and they've got enough, in the tank to win enough games this year. But
to make finals, you're talking
about? Well, it's a long way back, but I think you don't lose what they've had over the last two or three. They've put together two outstanding seasons.
Yeah,
so
but I reckon they have.
But again, they have lost to two very good sides. So yeah. Sydney and the Giants at the moment, you'd probably say the favourites to win the premiership. And they've hit a nice rock hard St Kilda last night, who played probably the best game we've seen St Kilda play in 24 months. So yes, they shouldn't have lost that game. They're just off defensively at the moment. So what they were doing last year, They were hard to score against. They were hard to move the ball against. And the first three games, they've allowed clubs to move the ball. They've allowed the clubs to get multiple possessions. And they just aren't 100% on their defensive aspects at the moment. I think they can get that back. But it probably starts with Darcy Moore, who's been off himself.
Right off. Chief, you covered it for Fox Footy, and you made your comments post-match as well. For those people who didn't hear that, you had a critical take.
Oh, yeah, I think they've got some legitimate problems. They were out-muscled. St Kilda were harder and stronger and more ferocious at the ball. The concern for me, and I think they've got some problems now, Collingwood, they'll win games, no doubt, but will it be enough to make the finals? I'm not sure. But they've got the thing that worries me about Collingwood is there's not a heap of players waiting to come back in.
No.
I mean, they've got a pretty fit list. McStay, we know, has got a long-term injury, but there's not much outside of that. So this is what they've got to work with. They look slow. They look really, really slow.
We're going to be talking about concussion in the next segment because I've got a lot of questions for you as footballers and you as a media man and where the game is going. But also this year, the big date, 14th of August, is the day our man turned 60. Mm. And he's very keen to have an elongated celebration throughout the year on the show to make
now,
it
Mark,
more about
we him, have mate. Discussed this
yes.
with the two
I
have, dogs.
I haven't celebrated any of the last 40 birthdays, so why would I celebrate this one?
Because this
and
is a big
if
one.
I was... to entertain some sort of celebration.
Here he goes.
I like this.
You're so far down on the list. There would have to be 150 pullouts before I even stumbled upon your number.
Where would I'd be closer to?
Oh, you're
invitation.
There, Warren. We'll have a beer.
What about Erica? Does Erica get a run?
Mate, she's in the top 10.
Right. But I'm not in the top 150.
That's sort of common theme for you, however,
yeah, no,
most
it is.
Invites.
Yeah,
we don't want Erica to come.
Invite Erica, but not Mark.
We don't really want
well,
you
do
to
we need
up.
A really big downer on the night? Someone that sits in the corner and has one beer,
oh,
a light
drink.
So, what we've found early. As part of this celebration.
Challenges people to arm wrestle.
I'm on the Celebrate Chief 60th. I know he's a reluctant celebrator, but I think.
And he's two dogs.
I think this
so,
is
you know, in the footy record in the day, you would have a player profile. It's been sent to me, Chief's player profile in the footy record from 1987. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to throw me some answers, then we'll ask Chief what he thinks. So this is 1987. Jason
I'm 22
Dunstall's
years old, just
profile.
A young kid down yep. here.
Gonna,
in the
this
big
is going to be good.
Yeah,
this is going to be good.
What do we think Chief lists as his occupation? Any ideas?
Chief's occupation.
He's a footballer.
Lawyer.
No, neither of those things.
Because he was a trained lawyer, Chief, weren't you?
No. I studied a number of things, but then I went and worked.
So where do you think in 1987, what you were you doing, Chief?
I was at TNT.
You were? What was your title?
I was in the trainee management program.
Trainee executive at TNT,
So TNT that blows stuff up.
No,
oh my goodness.
I think it's the couriers, not the explosives. It's not
the
roadrunner.
The transport company. Graham John was running it back then,
right.
Former South Melbourne man. Who
and,
was
and director of the commission, AFL
yeah,
commission.
Correct. Yeah. And he was good friends with Alan Jeans. And a lot of AFL players were given a chance to be sales execs.
So what did your role entail?
Well, I ended up working for them for 8 years as a divisional manager.
Right.
Organising trucks and transport, Chief, around
what
the
did
town?
You study, Chief, did you say?
I studied a bit of law. I did a bit of human movement, a bit of applied science.
And got
I
was, through all those courses?
No. I was becoming a professional student. I had no idea what I wanted to do.
What about your schooling, Chief? You've started
at the Church of England Grammar School, which sounds
school.
Very, very nice.
Church is one of the
ended
big
up
GPS
at the Footscray
schools,
Tech.
Well, it's now Footscray University, but it was Footscray Institute of Technology.
All right, 1987.
Then.
What type of car do we think the chief
was
driving?
Was it the Brown Volvo?
No, it wasn't the Volvo. It wasn't the Volvo.
The Stinger?
No. What do you think?
1987.
No, 1987. No, it wasn't a Datsun. What do you think you were going with, chief?
I know what it is.
What?
I've seen the
okay, what was it?
It was a car that I actually won.
Right.
In the previous season's night series.
What did you win
Nissan
it for?
Nissan Pintara.
It wasn't Nissan Pintara.
What did you win that for?
Not best on.
They're giving out cars for best on.
In the
night series. That
you can't
we're
get a car
for
so the year these days.
They used to have them on the ground and then you'd drive them around like the crickets.
So what do we think Chief's favourite food was in 1987, Darce? This is your area of expertise.
It'd be... Or big spaghetti bolognese.
Close. Lasagna. Yeah.
Like Garfield.
Lasagna and chicken.
Chicken.
Favourite drink?
Chief, in that era, and he denies this, I'm told that Chief used to order a family pizza for himself, roll it up like a souvlaki and eat it rolled up. Now, Chief, is that...
No, it's a bit of an exaggeration. But lasagna is still one of my favourite foods today. I do eat a lot of chicken.
What was your favourite drink in the day, Chief? Which is very different from the modern football to list this in your player profile.
Oh, I would hope it's just beer.
4X.
Yeah. 4X. Or the old barbed wire.
Favourite group in 1987, Chiefy?
Oh, see, I grew up with a lot of Aussie bands. Dragon would have to be
yes,
in there.
Yes, Dragon is listed. Oh, yeah. And this caught my eye. This is your area of expertise, Nathan. His favourite night spot in 1987.
Your favourite night
bar.
Spot, Chief? Where was it?
Somewhere in town.
Mm.
Where'd we go back then?
Mm.
Underground?
Nope.
Grain store.
Grain store.
What was the grain store, Chief?
What used to happen there, Chief?
Good memories there, Chief.
It was just a good joint. You could get in and...
Drink cards?
Drink cards, yeah.
It was a good choice.
What about your favourite TV show?
Your favourite TV show. One probably not really relevant these days, but no. Give it a go. I'll let Nate take care of this one.
I can't remember. Can't remember.
Get Smart.
Elf?
Elf?
Really?
Yeah, Elf.
He must have burst onto the scene.
Put Elf on his player profile.
Most admired sportsman.
I think I was taking the P155 then.
Most admired sportsman for Chief.
Greg Chappell, surely.
Yes, Greg Chappell and Greg Norman.
Yep.
This one just grabbed me, Harry.
What's that?
Favourite actor and actress. He's gone Tom Cruise, Bill Cosby, Michael J. Fox, and then full stop, no favourite actress.
Well, I'm 22. All I did back then was watch action movies, and they hadn't really taken over by then.
You couldn't use your imagination.
Do you want to put a woman into?
Like who back then? What movies?
Meryl Streep.
Well, the lady in Top Gun.
Marilyn Monroe.
The lady in Top Gun. Was
yeah, Kelly McGillis that went on to do what? Witness and nothing else.
And Top Gun 2. She got another run in Top Gun. Now, nicknames. This is one
how did
that
she
I
get
a run
in Top Gun 2?
She's the main actress in Top Gun 2.
No, she's not.
She is, alongside Tom Cruise.
You're an imbecile.
Who is it then?
Are you serious?
Is it not the same lady?
No.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, my God. It's the
wife
the one
of
from
the
Beautiful
singer.
Mind.
Oh, no, I got the other one.
I just presume
the girl that was
the
wife
actress.
Of Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind.
Jennifer. No.
Connolly?
Jennifer Connolly.
It is Jennifer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nicknames.
There we got there.
Why were you called Beetle?
Greenie gave me. Russell Green said I had a Beetle haircut when I got in the club.
As in like the Beatles?
Yeah.
And Bunghole?
No, and
were you bunghole back then?
Dunnell?
Oh, no. People just couldn't understand the name. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's...
That wasted a few minutes of everyone's time.
No, we got a few nice stories out of
it. Exciting stuff.
Hey, Mark.
Instagram stories at Triple M Football. You can see Chief's player profile.
You've had a big, big week.
Oh, you got something funny.
I know you're happy with how your week's gone, but how did the week start? Because I felt like you let yourself down last week.
Ooh.
And then you made the paper. So when you open up the paper and you've got a headline with your head having a go at Liam Pickering, and then in
which
print,
you all G'd me up to do.
Everything in print looks a lot worse.
It does.
The written word in that conversation, how he was a whole lot worse than the spoken.
So it was front of the Herald Sun website.
Mm.
Now, was there a cover off at any point this week?
No, but...
Hang on. Look at everyone in the eye. Did you make contact with Liam Pickering this week?
No.
Well, before we
but
carry
I felt
on,
I should have.
I missed the headline. So what did it say and what did he say in the article?
I felt bad.
Well, it was what he said on our show last week about Liam Pickering being basically a Sheffield Shield player.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, you're on. So you commented on the WhatsApp in the group.
They printed that in the paper, did they?
Yes.
Doesn't look good in print, does it? Is it lighthearted? We're having a bit of banter.
Why
but
though
when
it was offensive
print,
to Shield players?
Did you make contact with anyone who works with Pickers?
I text Hutchie.
Oh, okay.
I text Hutchie. What did I say?
Cover
to
it off, did you?
No, I don't. Wasn't a, I didn't. I didn't feel good about it. I wish I hadn't done it. To be completely honest with you, I'll be honest with you.
Why did you text Pickers? Yeah, the comments were about Pickers.
No, because he would take the right way.
Because Pickers doesn't pay him. Hutchie does.
I said, surely Pickers would have been happy to be compared to Jamie Cox, and Hutchie said, "Yep, loved it, enjoyed it." But I went away from a game plan, and I wish I hadn't said it. No,
because you missed the nice guy.
Well, I am, but you blokes G'd me up to have a bit of crack.
We didn't G you up.
You said, "I'll
table
you." You said, "Do a new bowl," and let me
get this on the running sheet. Did anyone at any of your employers say, "Mark, that's not you"?
I got actually a lot of positive feedback about the comments, Nathan. But again, looking back, I wish I hadn't said it.
And I've got to tell you, that nice guy facade's starting to wear thin.
Well, yeah.
The lack of humility is really starting to seep through with Howard.
Well,
now,
I did question myself, Nathan, and I realised that everything we say on the radio, which I should have realised, gets printed and it looks very different in print. Yes.
It did look a lot harsher than now. You were rattled, weren't you?
Well, no, I just didn't.
What did he say?
I shouldn't have said it.
She said, "Marky, that's not you."
She just opened the article on the Herald Sun and left her iPad open on the table.
Was she as disappointed the night that you lost the arm wrestle to me? Because she felt like she was going to leave you that night.
I think we need to get to a break. Yeah, we need to get to a break.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Triple M Friday Huddle for TAC leading up to the Cats taking on the Crows in Adelaide. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC. Concussion is a massive conversation in the game at the moment, General. It's come into my world a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. So I have some questions for you. We often have a laugh on this show, Damo, but this is definitely not a laughing matter. So just
how's it coming to your world, Howie?
Well, I'll explain to you later on. Right. But right from the start, Nath, how many times playing professional sport would you have been knocked out?
In the AFL, twice. Knocked out.
What about you, Chief?
I never lost consciousness.
Yep.
But lots of hits to the head. Obviously had a fractured skull. So I can't say I was never concussed, but I was never, I never suffered a loss of consciousness.
What about you, Das?
Knocked out the loss of consciousness once, but yeah, a couple other times, yeah.
Chief, we'll start with you. Because you're older, I'm not having a go at you there. It's obviously you're a touch older, so it's probably more relevant and prevalent. Do you have concerns about what happened to you playing football in your day-to-day life now, or it is what it is and on you go and you don't have any?
No, I'm okay. Memory is probably not what it is, but a little bit of that's old age, a little bit of that's probably hits to the head. But aside from that, I've enjoyed my life, so I have no regrets or any beef to take up with anyone.
Nath, you're about to step into a boxing ring, which you've been having a laugh about. I'm sure you've discussed this with Christina. I'm sure your kids are asking questions. You've been knocked out a couple of times playing footy. Is it on your mind?
Not really, because I feel like I'm going okay. My brain is good. Had a scan actually last week. We had to get cleared to do the boxing and completely normal. But I know that there are a lot of people out there doing it hard. Like Chief, I feel like I'm healthy and I'm more aware of it now for my kids because I've been educated about it. So knocked out twice, came back on the ground after being completely knocked out. That doesn't happen these days. I wouldn't allow my kids to do it, but we probably didn't know as much 15 years ago. But right now, if I saw one of my kids, you know, get a knock to the head, I'd probably ask him to come straight off the ground.
Yeah, no concern, Howie, at all. I understood the risks in our era. And yeah. I think we signed up knowing that you played a combat sport and that was going to come with potential, you know, hazards later in life on a range of different things. And that one's probably at the lower end of the scale. You know, there's a lot of us that end up probably getting joints replaced and all of that at some point in time. But you do it all again in a heartbeat. It's such a great opportunity to do it. And that's never lost on me.
But all our attitudes are relevant to the time that we play.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can't judge yesteryear by today's standards.
Yeah, this is a question for you all. Last night on the telly, Mason Wood, and Chief, you and I had a look at it again. Yeah. Mason Wood threw himself back with the flight of the ball. He's ended up with multiple fractures, but more concerningly, he was badly knocked out. He was convulsing on the ground, which was, Damo, really confronting to watch.
And that was broadcast?
Yeah, it was broadcast.
I think inadvertently, maybe, but yeah, that's just my take on it.
There's a lot going on at that stage. So the language around it, it's not the people involved, but the language around it on the television last night was, to paraphrase, Mason Wood in the past hasn't been known as a player that put his body on the line. But in this act, what he did was courageous and it'll earn respect of his teammates. So the act was lauded. So I'm sitting at home last night with my 12-year-old son, who's about to play under 14 football as a bottom age, as a youngster. He's watching this, and what Mason's done is being lauded. What type of language do we need to use around situations like that in the media when we're broadcasting sport, Damo? Where do you sit on this?
Well, I didn't catch that commentary. I'm assuming you won't want to say who that
no,
was.
No, because it's not pointing out that anything did anything wrong. I'm just as a father, yeah. I'm watching and yeah. listening, and I'm looking at what my
So how is it lauded?
Well, it'll earn the respect of his teammates.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, again, I'm the non-player in this conversation, as you are, Howie, but I've long had an issue with that being lauded, that type of act. And I, even when I was at the paper, and again, I'm not washing my hands of these stories, I'm sure I've done them, I have done them, but I've always had an issue with the person who did go take a short one and put his hand up and not go for the ball, being absolutely castigated in commentary. So to me, for you to hear you say that was said last night, I'm not comfortable with that as a member of the media, and I would hope that as part of this change in what we're dealing with as an industry, and the legal cases that are coming to us, there's 100 people on a class action at the moment. There's individual cases outside of that.
Huge
I think
issue.
It's all part of the change.
There was an article done many years ago with a Geelong player, and I'll name him, but I won't in case I get it wrong. But a Geelong player who won a couple of premierships had a moment where he didn't go back with
Josh Hunt.
There you go. Yeah, so you remember it well. But there was a double page spread. I'll never forget it. It was frame by frame by frame of him. And effectively, you may as well have written coward on the headline. It was that, and it was a staggering thing to whoever wrote it, I can't remember, but I remember thinking, the next week, Tom Lonergan went out and did something that was crazy and lost a kidney. And it was no way you can't have a direct correlation between, I don't want to be framed to be cowardly. So I think you're right. I think Mason Wood did has enormous courage attached to it, but I don't think it was a great play. I don't think he needed to do that. I think there's smarter ways to be able to get back into position. And so we do admire courage, but there's skill in actually being taught of how to protect yourself and when to go. And I think that is a good conversation.
Can I ask you a question, Howie?
Yep.
So we laud, say, at the SCG, Nick Riewoldt going back with the flight and the Jonathan Brown going back with the flight, and we promote that and we say, how good's that? It's etched in our memories. It's played over and over again. So are you saying that we shouldn't be saying is amazing?
I'm not saying anything. I'm asking you as professional athletes where it sits. So I'm asking you as someone that doesn't know, if Mason Wood doesn't go back with the flight, for example, take Mason out of it. If a player doesn't go back with the flight, should it be brought up in the review? And what does it do to the fabric of a professional football team, which you three have played in, if you don't put your body on the line in that situation? Like, what does it do to the fabric of the team? Because this is something Damien and I don't understand. Like, from the outside looking in, it's like, well, why would Mason do that? He's taken himself out of the game. He can't play any further in the game.
Just before you guys answer it, I feel that attitude has changed from some coaches. I'm not going to name names here, but I got the fortune of speaking to quite a few coaches in the off-season. Some really hard men and people involved in footy, I feel that they are softening as a collective as well as to what they demand their players to do in certain situations. So I just want to throw that out
I agree. I agree. I think there's different kinds of courage. And when I think personally, if I'm critical of a player, it's because he hasn't body lined the ball or he's reached in with a hand when he could have put his body across or didn't really want to lay the tackle, didn't want the physical contact. I think those acts are completely different to what we now call crazy courage, is going back with the flight when you don't know what's coming, leaving yourself completely exposed. I agree with Duke wholeheartedly. Some do it a lot better than others, and those that can't do it well shouldn't do it. And I also agree with you, Dame. I know there are coaches that are now saying, hey, we don't need to lose anyone like this. This is just ridiculous. I don't expect any player to go back with the flight like that, risking life and limb, because it's bottom line, it's probably not going to achieve anything for us anyway.
So
in the end, it was two teammates that collided.
Yeah.
So I would think if you're in a position as a player, and if I was a coach, I would instruct them, hey, if you see a teammate there, I don't want you going back at all. That shouldn't even cross your mind. If there's no teammate there and it's just a single opposition player, well, then you might. But let's work out how we're going to do it and what the best way is so that you can do it safely.
And I mentioned at the start, this is in my wheelhouse at the moment. So I'll give you you know when you see one of those aeroplane crash shows and unfortunately 137 things have to go wrong to bring the plane down in a row. So I was playing a cricket semi-final, to be serious, the other day. The other team were 9 down. They needed 8 to win Darce when they lost their 9th wicket. And a 14-year-old came out to bat. It's men's senior cricket. When they needed 4 to win, our opening bowler hit this kid in the helmet with a bouncer. Right on the badge, right? They needed four to win. It put a dent in the helmet. I'm standing at mid-off and...
Intentionally bowled?
Well, yeah, it's a bouncer, but that's part of the game. Okay?
Are you happy with that to start with, a 14-year-old number 11 batter getting bounced by your opening bowler?
Yeah, I think I am. You think that's okay? I think that's part of the game. If you're going to go out there...
Community cricket?
Well, it's men's cricket.
So I've got an issue with that even now. Now that
well, that's
wouldn't
that's
have been
an interesting
a, it's a
point.
Different conversation. But yeah.
So it's an open. It's not an under 16. It's you're playing. It's men's cricket.
Yeah, it's
so
men's cricket. And there's a 14-year-old.
I feel like if you're going to put yourself out there as a 14-year-old, you're going to probably cop a bouncer.
So he copped a
but
bouncer.
But it's a lower grade, isn't it?
Yeah, it's B-grade cricket. And this is the point I'm getting to. So he gets hit, right? And he's batting out there with a teammate who's batted really well and a senior player. And there's a dint in the helmet, okay? And they have to change the helmet. And I'm looking at the kid thinking... Gee, he doesn't look that good. Now, if their player had said, nah, he's off, they would have lost and Bowen Heads would have been in the grand final, right? I'm at mid-off. Every part of me does as a father. So if it had been my son up the other end, it's 12, I would have said, mate, you're done. We're going to forfeit the game here. We lose the game. I wanted to go and say that to their opposition, but how can you say that with a game being decided by four runs because it looks like you're trying to influence the result of the game? And this is why it's been on my mind because... I'm not sure yet in community sport, and as a dad who's going to have a son start playing under 14 football, I'm not sure we understand the seriousness of what can occur. So what do you do in a scenario like that?
I think junior footy, when you get exposed to that now, is very well educated now about concussion, getting players off, and there's medical experts around more often than there ever was before. But I'm going to step back. If I'm playing, you know, community, I'm not bowling a bouncer at 14-year-old.
Correct.
I couldn't start the run up and think, you know, for all the options that are at your disposal, that I've got a real issue
so
with that.
So our opening bowler's 16, so he's a kid as well at this point. But regardless, it's, yeah, and that's my question for you, because I'm about to go into under 14 football. Do you think, so it's been brought out to, I think it's 21 days now?
21 days is the AIS recommendations, which has been adopted by the AFL. At the lower levels.
So I think as a father, which you are, and you are, and you've been through it, and you are, if my young fella is getting knocked out, I'm not letting him play for the rest of the season. But that's only my personal decision because I've talked to footballers that have had all sorts of issues.
So it had to be someone on the batting side to say, young fella, you got to come off because you're on the opposition. You can't do that because you're influencing the game.
But I felt sick on the ground looking at what had happened.
And Howie, take this comment the right way because we can't. I'm not diminishing this in any way. Concussion's a real thing. It's a huge issue. We need to address it. We've come a long way. I think we've got lots and lots of safeguards around and there's going to be more to play out on it. And we're still a long way to go down the path. So all these measures are right. But the joy, the benefit, the health associated with playing team sport and around AFL, if you put a graph together, risk versus reward, in my mind, the rewards for your kid going and playing and being out there is so far and above the risk that we have to have that conversation as well. Now, it's not for everyone. There'll be families that decide or individuals that don't want to take that risk. But I think I'm worried that we're losing the balance of the conversation in this because the you know kids on screens and on their algorithms on Instagram is more dangerous to me than playing under 14 footy.
We got to go. But I don't have the one more question for you, Chief. Sorry. So as a non-footballer, I don't have the understanding to say to my son, this is what you need to do. So, Chief, for all the parents out there that kids are going to start playing footy now, how do you go and get the footy and do what you're meant to do for your team, yet protect your head? In simple terms, what's the how do you do that?
There's no simple terms,
right?
There's no simple terms. There is an inherent risk if you play a contact sport. We continue to legislate in terms of the rules and laws of the game to protect, but there's no 100% guaranteed protection. There's great debate over helmets. A lot of specialists will tell you they do nothing for you. Maybe it gives you a little bit of confidence if you're a young kid with a helmet on, but if you're going to play contact sport, there will be contact, and sometimes it's unfortunate, it's accidental, but there will be injuries as well. We can't avoid that fact.
And Howie, I know we're going way over time here, but you've opened up a pretty wide conversation here. Just talking about the combat nature of the sport, there was a club that was brought to the attention of the AFL that had three concussions before Christmas in its training. Now, that's not actual game style of training, that's actual normal training. So, and that was an issue for the AFL as well. So it's not just the actual playing of the sport as well. It's the training at the highest levels, which is causing the concern.
And Darsh, you make a great point. And I didn't want to stand here and say, we need to do this because of concussion. I don't understand what a professional environment is like, but as a father, it starts to come into your mind as to what's going to occur.
Did you bowl any more short balls to the kid?
No. Instructed, no more bounces. No more bounces.
They beamed him next up. Did
he change the helmet?
Yeah, he changed the helmet. Okay. He changed the helmet.
Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Adelaide v. the Cats coming your way. Right now, Macca's is a magical place to be with surprise fries. Just peel your fries for a chance to find a prize. There's millions of dollars worth to be won, including a weekly draw to win 10 grand cash. Leroy, it is time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
Okay, you had your little media stoush last week with Pickers, so I thought let's do the Top 5 media stoushes, and that combines players and media and all sorts of things, and I thought it'd be a bit lazy to go through all yours, Damo, because there's so many of them, but
it's
with an honourable mention for a clip from you, Damo.
It's hard living rent-free in that guy's head, Bill.
So that was about Robbo. So you've had that one for a long time. And then, Duke, I thought I'd give you an honourable mention too because you gave the former Premier a clip as well.
And I think absolutely fair from the Premier, if you're a four-year-old. and like you do, you teach your kids when they're four or five and you say to them, you know, did you take... you know, that out of the fridge. And they say, no, it was my brother who did it. My older brother told me to do it. And you go, no, what you do is you actually take responsibility. And when you're four, you learn to take accountability. Mm. And you go, you don't blame someone else.
That's the Duke we love. Yeah. That's
you were talking about
well
the state
done.
Budget that, at that stage, I think, which hasn't got any better.
Artificial.
Okay, at number five. Now, Mike Sheen was the godfather. Everyone loved him. But back in the day, he had some enemies.
He did. And not many. But
it's come to my attention that Roger Merritt tried to fight Mike and threw a couple of punches at him
in South Africa,
Cape Town.
Actually, yes.
And the other one at a 3AW Christmas party, the great Peter Dacos threw a punch at Mike Sheehan, allegedly, which we're not allowed to say, but apparently that happened. But that came from Mike.
Remember in the legal meeting when they said if you use the word allegedly, it doesn't get you off the hook?
Cornered at one stage as well. I think it might be a longer list.
We go with a truth defence on some of those.
What did Roger Merritt do?
Oh, that was a couple of articles. That was in 1998 in of all places, Cape Town.
Right.
Yeah, and it would have been a long build-up.
That would have been scary for Mike.
Yeah,
having Roger
going into the 98 season, which ended up being one where John Northey was removed as coach and Roger got the gig in an interim capacity initially, but. Yeah, I forget the origins of it, but it was fiery.
Now, as you get bigger and bigger, as Craig Hutchison has with his media empire, you do make a few enemies. And the former operator was a guy called Graham Mott, who said, Craig Hutchison has turned a profitable radio station into a bottomless money pit by overpaying presenters and going on a wild spending spree.
Allegedly.
I fired Hutchie from 3AW in 2007. His performance on air was appalling. I got rid of him. So that was the former boss. And then your man, Hutchie, came back on your program and said, Hutchie said since leaving, Mott had become a consultant and hadn't been consulted on anything for 4 years and has asked an opinion on me. And then also David Schwartz has come back working at SEN. It's money can speak a thousand words
I think any boss that gets accused of overpaying presenters, good luck to them.
Good
should
boss.
Be more of it, I reckon.
Okay, one of the great on-air stoushes is between two former players, Kane Corns and Tex Walker. I asked Kane today, I said, what started this massive feud that you've had? And he said, I wrote an article about him needing to be rested because he was going pretty ordinary. Then he bit back, and so I started going harder. So it was an innocent article, and then it becomes like this where Tex has a go at Kane.
When you did the big freeze and you dressed up as a fireman, were you trying to be Kane Corns?
I'll tell you what... I wore that longer than he did.
He had another go at him as well.
I can't say it on air.
What? What you really want to say?
No, I can't stand him.
Just write it on a bit of paper for me.
Not many other people can either.
And then the response from Kane.
I'm more critical of the captain not standing up when things weren't going their way. You wouldn't see Joel Selwood do that. You wouldn't have seen Jonathan Brown or Wayne Carey or Matthew Lloyd as captains of big footy clubs do that in the past, and he won't sleep well this week.
I think that's one of the best feuds in footy at the moment, and they just keep going backwards
going,
and forwards. Yeah, it keeps going. Number two, now this is Patrick Keane and Mick Warner, another man that you've had a disagreement with. So this runs deep, and Warner Patrick Keane from the AFL, been very critical of the boys' club, I guess, in at the AFL. And I heard that maybe there was...
Allegedly.
One of the entries of recommendation to the media awards might have found its way into the bin in at the AFL of Michael Warner's.
So you're saying...
Yeah, you should have checked this legally.
You're
Brandy.
Saying just, Michael Warner...
I'm not saying that at all, Howard.
No, you're saying... I'm saying that allegedly...
Oh, no.
you should have run this by someone before you went with it.
Okay, what are you saying?
No, I'm not saying it. That's number two.
Beep, beep, beep. Okay, and at number one, it is still easily the best on-air, off-air meltdown. Here it is.
You shut up and listen instead of talking.
Don't speak to me about that.
Well, then I won't talk to you. Get out of the box.
Will do.
I will not work with someone like that. Get out of the box all right good. Now. Go on, nick all off. Good. Just throwing a whole tray of food on me.
A whole tray.
Nick off. I'm not working with those.
Shut up.
Get out.
but
little... That wasn't a few. That was one incident.
But what doesn't get played enough is the following week.
Apology?
This is the apology, which I'm not sure if it's an apology
no,
or not.
It wasn't an
but
apology.
I want you to listen to this apology.
Maybe Jason, you first to quarters and a response, and we'll move on with Sunday afternoon football.
I thought we had moved on, hey. You want to do it on air, do you?
Well, we just...
Well, I apologise to Q. I threw a bit of rice, and I didn't mean to upset him, so I apologise.
That's a heartfelt apology.
Your apology's funny, Chief.
That's an apology.
That's a disingenuous apology.
Twice in the apology.
That was contempt. That was disingenuous, Jason.
I threw a bit of rice in.
Are we going on great quarters? It was one incident.
Are we doing this on air as well? There was a bit of a build-up to that, though, wasn't there? That was escalating over a few weeks.
It was one particular issue.
Jonathan Hay, wasn't it?
No, but it was a player's welfare, so why can't we do it?
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Friday huddle coming your way. We're leading up to Adelaide, taking on Geelong, Mark Howard, Damien Barrett, the fighter himself, Nathan Noodles Brown. You got the Chief and Luke Darcy. Now, to get tickets, and there's not many left for Brownies Night, you jump on canefight.com. That's canefight.com. You can see Corns v. Brown, Rocker v. McKernan, Robinson versus Pettifer, and Thomas versus Swan. And we are very privileged to be joined by Dane Swan, who's taking part in this boxing extravaganza. Mark Howard here. Dane, good evening to you.
Hey, Howie. How are we?
Lovely to speak to you. How's the training going? Nate's lost 6 kilos. He's never looked better. What about yourself, Dane?
Yeah, I'm playing at about 95 and I'm at 89 now. But I have to preface that by saying I went to Vegas with me 40 and lost 4 kilos there. So... So I did it all in about 4 days. So I was, I'm about 89 now. So I probably lost a couple due to the training. Yeah.
Swanee, you're finding a good mate of yours, Daisy Thomas, premiership teammate. How does that work?
Well, he's going to pay for his sins from going to Carlton. So someone has to make him pay for his sins. So I've been given the pleasure to do it. But as we know, Brownie won the lotto in getting Kane. So I thought I was finding him. That's why I said yes. And then Nathan stole him from me. So I was like, well. What other bunny can I pick? So Dale was the one.
So what are you expecting from your bunny? How much training do you think Daisy's doing? And what sort of fight do you think he's going to offer you?
He works for the station, so I don't want to embarrass him. Listen, he's doing a bit of work. I've seen him in the gym a little bit. He might come in a bit heavier than me, but not exactly sure. I sparred him maybe 6 months ago when he was doing his first, gym fight, and he'd want to have improved since then.
Hey, Swanee, I think Nathan Brown genuinely likes Kane Corns. In fact, I know he does as a close friend, almost as much as you do, Daisy Thomas. How is it you're going to find yourself across the way in the ring and you're going to have to actually try and hurt him?
Yeah, well, obviously we are mates, and clearly we'll have a million beers together after, responsibly, of course. But, it's a fight. I don't think... Well, I certainly don't plan on making it a street fight and just throwing haymakers. I actually, in all seriousness, want to try and put some of the skills that I've, or whatever skills I've learned in the last 6 weeks to use and just try and box instead of having a punch on. So, we say all good things and we'll just muck around. But as soon as someone gets punched in the face, I reckon our smiles might turn a little bit more nasty and then she might be on. So we can say that we're this and that, we'll just muck around. But, as soon as we get in there and there's got 10,000 people screaming at you to kill your opponent, things might change a little bit.
Canefight.com. Canefight.com is where you can get your tickets Wednesday, 3rd of April. So get over early to gather around at the Adelaide 36 Arena. You can also see it on Stan Sport pay-per-view.
But I know that Daisy's worried about the fact that you're a Southpaw. He's never boxed against a Southpaw before. So I feel like you've got a bit of an advantage there, Swanee.
Yeah, well, that's one of the advantages I have, that I'm a Southpaw. And they're obviously pretty awkward and there's not a lot of us. So... Yeah, but I think me being a Southpaw is the least of his worries, if I'm being honest.
Hey, Swanee, I noticed last night in this game of football, Collingwood versus St Kilda, you were quite active on X there for a while. What are you making of what's happening there? 0-3 start.
Yeah, well, they're going like bastards, aren't they? So it's not great. But I don't know, what do you think? Well, they're going ordinary now. I think they were pretty unfairly done. Their members, to be honest, starting in their opening round on the shortest pre-seasons against sides that have had longer pre-seasons. And if you look at their first two games, their members, and they've been smashed in the last half. So I'm obviously looking for excuses, but have they had enough time to get the work in their legs in the pre-season? Because they've been smacked out after half times in all their games. So I'm just looking for excuses, clearly. But they're obviously not going well. And, you know, if they do want to have a go in September, the margin for error is very, very small now, because they can't they have to lose three or four more if they want to finish in the four, which is, you know, which is asking a lot. So they're in a bit of pickle, and they go to Brisbane where we haven't played well in a long time. So it could be 0-4 to start, but, you know, it's a long season, but they want to start winning soon. Otherwise, the season's going to be over before you know it.
You shared a premiership with a couple of famous Collingwood people in Scott Pendlebury, Steel Sidebottom. Are you worried about them?
Not as much. I think one of the good things about them too is, I think once you get, the stigma is once you get over 30, if your size starts going bad, they can get all the old blokes. But I think for the majority of them, if you lose your leg speed and your body can't get to where your brain expects it to, that's when you look really slow and ordinary. But the thing about Scott and Pendle, Scott and Steele, is they've actually never had any leg speed. So they haven't got it to lose. So their brains are still, obviously, you know, they're football savants, really. So I think they'll be all right. And we all know, when you're going no good, it's very, very hard to play well. When the side's going well and you're winning, everyone looks like $1 million. So no one's played well, really. Nick's obviously done, wasn't great last night, but Nick had the first few two games, was good. Lipinski's been all right, but there hasn't been too many winners from Collingwood at all. So you can pick those two out, but you could pick 20 others, to be honest.
Dane, we appreciate your time. We'll be coming in to watch the fight. Good luck with your training. Look after yourself, and we'll see you in Adelaide. Appreciate it, and
nice to speak to you. Get to your seats quickly, because it won't take long.
Canefight.com. Canefight.com, Wednesday, 3rd of April at Adelaide 36ers Arena. Looking forward to that.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, very nice. Adelaide Crows, Geelong Cats. Hot topic's not far away, but Damo's got a news hit for us. Come in, guru.
Yeah, we touched off the top, Howie, of the injury concerns for the Saints. Mason Wood, collarbone and shoulder on top of the concussion, probably 6 weeks as a minimum. Liam Henry, high-grade hamstring strain, 6 weeks. And the other bad news for the Saints out of last night, Chief, was Max King officially already being cited by the match review office for an off-the-ball, actually I won't say off-the-ball, but for a high hit on Finn McRae 1 week at this stage. He has the right to take it through the tribunal part of the judiciary if he wants to, but it is a rough conduct charge.
Didn't notice that one last night, and that's a shame, because he's starting to play reasonably consistent footy, Max King. I think he's developed a nice base where, you know, that's the minimum level he's going to produce. And
aggressive footy too.
Things above it. He's getting his hands to pack marks. I reckon he's going to have a good year.
Yep. Changes to the Richmond and Port Adelaide game to the teams named last night. Coming out of the Tigers, Hopper with a knee. Broad is also out, and equally problematic for the Power. Jason Horne-Francis is a late out for that game. So that does change the way that one could look. Sam Darcy is into the Bulldogs team to play the Gold Coast Suns in Ballarat on Sunday.
Director's put his foot down, has he?
I think that's what happened, Chief.
Big bag of six last week.
Ridiculous thing for you to say, Jason, and you know that. No, you'd be excited, Damo. It's a big game for the Dogs down at Ballarat, which is a great second
home.
Huge.
It is, and officially he is one of three ins alongside Caleb Poulter, Oscar Baker, and coming out, James Harms, as we know, was suspended during the week. Lockie McNeil omitted, and making way for Sam is Rory Lobb.
So what does it mean for Rory Lobb now as a Bulldog?
Well, I think they have to persevere with him. I think they have to find the right spot at the moment, that forward.
But how can you find a spot? I mean, surely it's time to get games.
They've put a fair bit of investment into him to get him there, so you can't just push him out and go, you're never playing again.
So, at the risk of losing a player that could be generational for you?
Absolutely. Sam should have been playing round one. So I'm saying they need to find a way to lessen the load in the ruck. I think Rory Lobb's a nice ruckman when he goes into the ruck too. Tim English looked tired already last week against Max Gawn. So can he play a role in the ruck as well? I mean, it's a big investment to go, Rory Lobb's out. We can't use him now.
Can you play Sam Darcy and Rory Lobb together?
That remains to be seen. I haven't seen that, but if I was going to choose one, I'd be choosing Sam.
Chief, as you know, over the course of the year, you don't get 6'9" athletes of that capability. He's got a lot of footy to play for the Bulldogs for many years. And in terms of pressure for spots, I mean, it's obviously an interesting one for me to be coming in on, given the family connection. But yeah, he's a 40-goal forward, Rory Lobb. He's played good football for a long period of time. He's healthy. He's fit. That's a healthy thing to have to fight your way into the side. So I wouldn't be concerned about him playing a lot of footy.
Yeah, we like it to see any pictures in the paper this week of you and Sam, maybe the Good Weekend magazine, an article of me and my son type
that's
thing.
Right in my wheelhouse, Howie. I'll be trying to crowbar myself into as much of his life as I can.
You did a nice little spot for House of Wellness during the week where you're talking about, let's just do a recap on recycling. They had a recycling expert come in and give them a refresher was caught on recycling. You just get the empty milk carton and put in the recycling bin, don't you? What are you going to put a refresher on that for? Let's get the expert in. I'm surprised, actually, an expert in recycling.
You should recycle a shirt and wear a fresh one every now and then. Would probably be a good place to start. But soft plastics are one of the great problems on the planet. Right. Getting them into the waterways and getting into our fish.
How was the refresher course? Was it good?
I loved it. Chief's a House of Honest fan. He gets on the couch and he tunes in every Friday and Sunday.
Bulldogs Suns game in Ballarat on Sunday. Yes. Jed Walter gets his first game. He was one of the four academy list players the Suns had access to. Had a collarbone injury quite recently. Straight back in. No VFL matches for him. Straight back in.
I think now, Leroy, it is time for
Howie's Hot Topics.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this, and I will badge this question by, I think the answer to this is yes. Start with you, Chief, because you are the expert in this field. Is Elise Perry the best female athlete of our lifetime? So you're 60, so let's say the last 50 years. Yep. There's some incredible athletes. This is a woman that scored for the Matildas, our women's soccer team, in a World Cup. She's been the dominant player for probably 15 years around the world. But what's impressed me, Chief, 3 years ago, they were saying she was too slow to play T20 cricket. She's just dominated the WPL. She's broke window. She took six for her. She steered them home in the final. For mine, she's the best. But I have looked at the other names, and I know it's a big statement.
Well, what other names have you looked at?
Well, I looked at...
Cathy Freeman's going to be hard to pass.
I looked at Cathy Freeman. The one that I didn't know if she could get past was Lauren Jackson for me.
See, the issue I have is the question itself. She's not an athlete, Elise Perry. She's a sportswoman, a sports person.
Okay, well, let's say the best
female
sports
person.
So
I always separate athletics and sport.
Well, I should have said sports person then.
I think Elise Perry is the best sports person we've seen. Certainly the best sportswoman.
I threw Barty in the discussion, Steph Gilmore, Yvonne Goolagong, Emma McKeon,
the fact
Sam
that she did it in two sports, represented Australia in two sports with distinction, and has had a long, enduring, and continues to represent Australian cricket. To me, that just puts her at the top of the pile.
Has anyone got a differing opinion?
Cathy Freeman for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Just the moment.
I won't compare
being in Australia. I agree with what Chief's saying between athletics and sports, but just what she did in that, the whole pressure was on her. She got the job done, the whole country, and Cathy for me.
Yeah, the 96 Olympics with the rivalry with Perrick leading into Sydney as well and bursting onto the scene as a teenager.
People do forget the silver medal.
Which was nearly as good in the context of where that rivalry was at.
She's extraordinary, Elise Perry, though. Mm. When you think of what she's been able to do in two sports and how good to see our women doing what they're doing at the level they are and the interest and the skill is just sensational, Howie.
Okay.
You've got Sam Kerr on the options here. I don't think you've said into the microphone, but she has to be.
Yeah.
I reckon a lot of people would. And again, it's how far do you want to go back? Dawn Fraser.
It's only last year you were questioning Sam Kerr missing those goals in the World Cup.
Yeah, she did. She missed one from about 5 minutes away.
Pick one, Dacos. Start with you, Nathan. Would you pick Nick, Josh or Peter? I don't want lots of questions about career and this and that. Just pick one.
Peter.
Damo.
Peter.
Chief.
I'm taking Peter because I tempted to take Nick, but I don't know what I'm going to get yet. So I'll take the bird in the hand rather than the two in the bush.
People forget what Peter Dacos did. Both boys are going to have to do something extraordinary to go past what Peter was able to achieve.
Good decisive answers.
Would you go with that too?
I'd go with Peter, yeah. Yes. Trump or Biden? Now, when we first brought up Hot Topics, the submarines and AUKUS came to a point of discussion, and Chief gave us 3 minutes on the geopolitical situation in Southeast Asia and why we needed submarines. Who you think the American public will vote for, Chief. You spent a lot of time on the couch watching CNN. Who's getting up in this race?
I fear that Trump's going to win.
Wow.
But I'm apathetic to the cause. You know, I hate politics, and I wouldn't vote for either of them.
So are you saying Biden's a better option?
No. I just said I fear Trump will win.
I think Trump will win too. Oof. Damo.
Well, that's my take on it from a long way away as well. But it's going to be a disaster.
Trump's going to win for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
And therefore, what does this do to our man Kevin Rudd, who copped a...
Yeah. It was a fearful spray, wasn't it?
But the fact that he's got time to want to fire an arrow at an Australian ambassador.
I don't think he knew he was talking about, did he?
Probably didn't.
I don't think he knew what he was talking about.
No. And he's not worth talking about.
I think the polling suggests how he... Trump's a certainty.
It's an extraordinary effort, isn't it?
It is.
To come from where he's come from and to go through what he could be in jail when he wins.
Correct.
And then he could pardon himself. It also says something about the people.
Does Biden know he's alive, Chief?
Why do they keep throwing up 80-year-old politicians? Is there not a vibrant 50-year-old over there in the States?
I reckon they're going to put someone. I don't think Biden's going to run. I think they're going to put somebody else in there.
From our political reporter in Williamstown. This is a big story.
They're going to go with Michelle Obama. I think they're going to put Michelle Obama
in.
Yep.
Is this a Planet Shakers insight?
An insight I've come up with myself.
If Biden gets in, he might be hooked up to a machine, keeping him alive, and someone else will be making all the decisions. They'll just keep trotting his head out.
Well, I think that's what's happening now, Chief.
Oscar Piastri is driving the McLaren this weekend at Albert Park, an event very close to my heart. I love it. Looking forward to going on Sunday. He's won the F3 world title.
He's the caller, Grand Prix.
Oh, I did. The F2 world title. He came into Formula One last year, did well against his teammate Lando Norris. Will Oscar Piastri become a Formula One world champion, Chief?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm not big in the Formula One space. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Das, you've driven in the Celebrity Grand Prix, so you're probably our expert.
I did crash his car. It's going beautifully around that corner.
And then on the roof.
Until it sort of was a wipeout. Well, I love Oscar Piastri. I've been following it through the Drive to Survive, how, as you know. He's just an outstanding young man. I hope he does. It'll be good.
Couldn't care less, Howard, but I do know that... If you had have made the cricket grand final, that you'd already promised Dee that you were going to take her to the Grand Prix and leave your mates high and dry if they made the grand final.
That is true, and I told you that off air in confidence. But
that needs to be backed over again. So, because you told us you couldn't play in the grand final.
Right. This is why you were saying no bowl bounces.
I didn't tell the team.
He said work commitments.
Do not bowl bounces at the end because I've got to go to the Grand Prix next week.
So, do his teammates know?
Well, they do now.
Do any of them listen? I hope they're listening. This is the sort of team spirit you get from Howie.
I had to work on Saturday with Fox tomorrow to call the Freo game, but I said to Erica, if we were to win, we are so in love, which we are, Chief. We've never been so in love as we are right now. I said, we're going to the Grand Prix.
So last week after your cricket that you lost, you did an amazing job to get to the Gold Coast to call that game.
Yeah. Avalon is a very accessible airport.
Can I just discuss the culture of Howie's cricket team? Yeah. They bounce 14-year-olds.
Correct. And then they lie to their teammates because they want to go to the Grand Prix.
You know what, Chief? Chief, I was worried if I told them before the semi they wouldn't have played me.
Would have been dropped.
Selfish act. I got another one for you. We have got, where I live, some beautiful golf courses. Beautiful golf course. You've got 13th. You've got over at the Sands. You've got Barwon Heads, which is magnificent. I won't name the golf course unless you really press me. But a couple of people in my area have come down over the summer and rolled up to play at one of these particular golf courses, which if you are a male golfer in 2024 and you are not wearing white socks, you are not allowed to play on the golf course.
Which course?
Barwon Heads?
Yes. And if you arrive at the golf course in non-white socks as a male, as a female, you can wear any colour socks, but as a male, you are told unless you have white socks, you can't play.
What world are we living in?
Well, this is I'm not commenting on whether I think it's a positive or a negative.
With rules, though, Chief.
Okay, so Nath, do you think this should be a rule?
I don't mind it. If that's their rule, then they risk people going and playing elsewhere. But rules are there for a reason.
Surely
if that's
their
rule,
gender discrimination.
You wear white socks.
It's gender discrimination.
Well, I'm not here to
imagine if it was the other way around.
Imagine
if it was the other way around, the uproar there would be.
There would be uproar, Chief. But
so
that's
why
a
isn't
conversation
there uproar now?
Me and you are never going to
win.
Why
don't we treat everyone the same and have an uproar now?
Well, let's uproar about it.
No, Barwon Head sucks big donkey nuts. If this is the sort of crap they're running with, I'm not copping that.
And I suspect
this has to be made an issue.
I suspect you turned up without White Sox, Howie.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't
someone
me.
Someone you know.
Quite a few people I know that weren't aware.
That's ridiculous.
Thongs, Dust.
Yeah.
Did they sell White Sox in the clubhouse?
I'm not saying it was Barwon Head's golf club. But it was one of the clubs.
You did tell us it was
allegedly. One of the clubs in the area.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M at Rocks Footy. Mark Howe with you, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown, Jason Dunstall, Luke Darcy. Always a privilege to chat to a senior coach the night of the game. And the coach of the Adelaide Crows, Matthew Nix, joins us. Mark Howe here. Matthew, good evening to you.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Lovely to speak to you. Just before we get to tonight, what are your thoughts on last week? The game didn't really flow against the Suns. Then the last 15 minutes, you played scintillating football.
I hated last week, to be honest. Didn't get the job done, unfortunately. And look, I don't want to be disrespectful because they are going really well, the Gold Coast. And they challenged us and, I guess, put us away in that first half, unfortunately. And then the conditions, the way they were, it was pretty hard to come back. It was never going to be a high-scoring game. It was extremely slippery. But we took too long to find our game. You know, probably look back with a bit of regret on it. Maybe took us a quarter and a half until we were able to adjust and get it right. Half time is a timeout to get ourselves really organised, and then the second half was a great battle, but not good enough in the end.
Nixie, congratulations on the 2-year contract extension. You, from the outside, doing an outstanding job at the Adelaide Crows. You grew up in South Australia. For our Victorian audience and those around the country, can you describe to people just the intensity of the passion of coaching the Crows in the state of South Australia?
Yeah, it's actually hard to describe. The passion in SA for footy is huge. You know, we live it. It's 24/7. We've got two big clubs down here, and you know, our rivals now are right up there fighting in the top four. So that's a genuine rivalry. Like, showdowns are out of control. But it's footy nights like this, like Friday night, where Our members and our fans will turn out in droves tonight. It'll be packed in here, especially against Geelong, you know, who are a highly respected team. So the pressure just builds and builds. And, you know, we've felt pressure, but not really at the highest level yet. The expectation on us over the last sort of 3 or 4 years hasn't been high. I believe there's a lot higher expectation there this year, as there should be. You know, our members are expecting now for us to perform. We come off a good year last year, not a great year, but a good year, and we want to be better again this year, so tonight is a, you know, critical game for us to get started.
Matty, no Tex Walker last week. We saw him start 2023 in an absolute blaze. He looked like he was 21 again. Are you confident he's in that same sort of form, ready to go tonight?
Well, he's done everything that he needs to do. He's an ultimate professional, so he's trained the entire pre-season. You know, he's also added to his game the last 4 years, where he's now a leader, like one of our best. He works with a younger group. You know, he instructs on the field. He's a real presence. So, you know, playing alongside him, you know, must be a thrill for some of our younger players. But he's got organised and instruct and direction. And, you know, we maybe missed that last week, that ability just to adjust our game. And, you know, no doubt we missed him forward of the ball. So tonight will be great. It'll be good to have him back. You know, he's had a pretty tough week leading in, but he's absolutely chomping at the bit to get going tonight.
Nixie, Matty Crouch spent the best part of probably 2 years in and out of the side, always gets the footy, and the last 6 games last year got a stack of the footy and first round this year. What's he doing different in the last 6 games in the first round that he was probably out of the side for before that, with about the same amount of possessions?
Well, Matty's game, it's a proven game. You know, you go back, he's an All-Australian. He's the best and fairest of this footy club. He had issues around his body and just that ability to drive through tackles. He's remarkably strong for his size, you know, and even his weight. You know, from a gym point of view, Matty wouldn't be in our top 10, but when you watch him play footy on the oval, he never gives up. You know, he can be caught in a tackle, two players at him, and he'll find a way to get the ball out. He's got elite hands. And I just feel like, you know, with his body now feeling strong, you know, he's able to now show what he showed when he was winning All Australians.
There's matchups that require attention all over the ground when you're playing Geelong, aren't there, Matthew? And you've got a challenge down back, obviously, with Dempsey and Henry adding their dynamic now to the established stars of Hawkins and Cameron. Massive roles for Michael Anikina and Butts and others tonight.
Yeah, huge roles, as you mentioned, all over the ground. It's one of those ones where people sort of come to you and say, like, what are you going to do here? You know, what are you doing with Stewart? It's his 150th. He's got off the chain against us previously and had 40-odd possessions and just dominated. There's too many for you to lose your focus on what it is you do well. That is the strength of Geelong. They're experienced. They've got, you know, incredible talent across the board. You know, Dangerfield last week was obviously influential. You mentioned their forward line. You didn't really even talk about Cameron and Hawkins and that experience there. So yeah, we've got our work cut out, but we've got a good young group down back that'll have a really hard dip at that. We can't put them under pressure is the key to it. We can't leave the ball back there for the majority of the night. You know, if we're going to get this game and we're going to win it, we have to get the ball front of centre and, you know, at least win that stat, whether it's 55% or whatever it is. We need it down in our forward line.
Matty, we know that Josh Rochelle is an enormous talent. We've already seen that from his time at the club. Whether he's playing forward, whether he's playing midfield, where do you see his role developing? Will he become a full-time mid, or is he always going to be that split, do you think?
I think he'll split. I think, you know, you look at the likes of Petrarca, and by no means am I comparing the two. I just think, you know, Josh is a certain player. He's his own player, but, you know, we drafted him as a forward. He's always wanted to be a midfielder. He's got the engine that it takes. He's got acceleration. He's got touch. He's got, you know, all that class. But I think what he does love doing is he loves getting ahead of the footy and kicking goals, and he brings an energy to us, you know, similar to Isaac Rankin, that it's something that, you know, you can talk to your players about bringing energy, but I think it's something that's built into you, and he has that. So we don't want to take him too far from the goals. But over time, I've got no doubt he'll become a stronger young kid, and he'll want to get his teeth into that midfield. That's where most of the boys want to play.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Adelaide Crows tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Coach of the Adelaide Crows, Mark Yates. Up next...
Mark Yates, coaching the Crows. Is he Yater?
Yeah, he used to play for Melbourne, number eight.
Underrated player, Mark
Yates. Do you think he was off the line? Yater?
No,
you would have heard that.
You're the ultimate insult.
Graham Yates, aren't you?
Graham Yates.
You tried to correct Howard, and you've stuffed it up yourself.
Well, Mark Yates played for Geelong.
He cleaned up
Dermot.
Yeah. Before the 1999.
Okay. A lot of Yates out there.
I was thinking Bretton Yates because he's about to take over the call team. Thank you to Matthew Nix, Chris Dittmar as well, the great squash player, Bernie Yater. Vince, Mark Rusciuto, Rhett Bigland. So we're done for the night. So what's on for you for that? You go home, watch the game tonight, Damo?
I certainly will, yes.
And what about you, Nathan? Bit of sparring? What are you up to?
Nah, just a quiet night. Get into bed very early, Howard, and get up early.
Hopefully you change shirt
boring
next time we see you.
Chiefy, what's on for you tonight? Anything social?
No, I'll go home, watch the footy with Yatesy. Have a ball. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's one of the great Amy Clangers, that is, of the Adelaide Crows, calling him not even his first or his second name.
No!
Well, over the summer, I did call Brian Lara, Brian Taylor, so it's been a long summer. Lovely to see you, gentlemen, as always.
What are you
we'll
doing?
Be back next Friday.
You look a bit tired, Mark.
No, a bit of
your
dinner.
Eyes are a bit red.
Dinner tonight. Out for a bit of dinner.
You haven't been you're doing some after-hours work.
No, I might hang out with Leroy now and just float the night
Which
away.
Family is hanging out.
That's very funny by you, Nathan.
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.